ourselves. And so if you guys can start turning with me to John chapter 6, we'll dig into what Jesus is encountering here with the Israelites, which we know through our lives is pretty nomadic. I got to get a good transition here. And although they circled in the desert a long time, there's some kids who need to take a little journey themselves so they don't have to listen to me. I already thought you waved it and you were gone. Yes. Is there any more kids? Awesome. They're about trapped in here with Corey Nickel, and that would have been awesome. See, it's good saints like that keep the church running. Without that, it would have been a loud service in here. All right. So as you're turning to John chapter 6 this morning, we're going to get into this scripture now. And if you see the message title this morning, it's Comfortably Numb. And no, I'm not going Pink Floyd on us this morning, I promise. I know some of you are thinking that. Not even close, okay? But it did kind of resonate with where we're going today. But let me give you some background here before we dig into John chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 25, but so you know what's going on before this, right? So Jesus has just fed, it says in the Bible, 5,000 men, which means 5,000 men and their families. So you're probably looking at over 10,000 people, maybe 20,000 people. He's just fed with a couple loaves of bread and some fish. Quite a miracle. And so he feeds these people, and most of the time after Jesus does something extraneous, he retreats to get and find rest. And he did after that time. He retreated to get rest, and it was in that time he said to the disciples, why don't you just take the boat and go across, and I'll meet you over there. I'll meet you tomorrow. And that's the night where he just, you know, it was a big storm, and Jesus walked on water. It's a normal Jesus thing. He goes out, walks on water, and saves Peter, and they go on their way, right? So he did the walking on water experience. They get there to the next day. They're on the other side, and the people wake up the next morning, and they go, well, where'd Jesus go? They're like, he's gone. And so they go to find him, and that's where we end up here in John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So what we find here is Jesus responding to this crowd of thousands of people saying, What are you looking for? And if we read here right in verse 25, we see they're looking for food. He calls them out right away. He says, you know what? You guys here, you're not even looking for miraculous signs. You're not here because I have done miracles. You're not here because I'm the Son of God. You're here because you want your bellies full. You want to be fed and pampered, and you just want to feel comfortable enough to make it to tomorrow. And that's quite the calling out, because these people following him, I mean, they've seen dramatic miracles, things that we don't see today, and yet they have seen his ministry and all these things, and yet what they want at the core is just food. Food. They don't want to be saved. They don't really want to follow Jesus. They don't want to believe the message. They just want food. So much that they go back to their roots in the Old Testament. They say, you know, if you're the new Moses, then can't you just give us manna every day like Moses did? And they want this sustenance just so that they can exist a little longer, so that they don't have to fully commit, but they can just live off of what God or Jesus or Moses is giving them. And so Jesus starts to try and talk some sense into them in the scripture. And he goes, well, I don't think you quite understand that you're not supposed to be working for food. You don't need that food, in a sense, to have eternal life. What I am trying to offer you is something much greater. And they go, okay. So what is it that we have to do to receive this bread, this great eternal bread? And he says, well, you just got to believe in the one that God has sent, which he's told them quite a few times. Hey, Israelites, I am the Son of God. Can't you see me doing these miracles and these things? And I'm here. I'm the Messiah. And yet they still don't quite transfer that. So much that they, in verse 30, they go, okay, you say you're the Son of God, then what miraculous signs will you show us? And if I'm Jesus, I'm just thinking, oh, my goodness. I've gone over this 20 times. I've done 60,000 miracles, and you're still asking for more? Right? That's like my junior high English class. Guys, we have went over what a comma is used for 50 times, and you still can't put it in the right place? Seriously? I would be so stressed out if I was Jesus, and that's exactly the point where he's at. He goes, you're asking for these miracles. You're asking for stuff from Moses. You are so caught up in religion and the Old Testament ways and what you used to know that you can't even see the truth in front of you. And so then comes the declaration that is the turning point of this message today and for these Israelites. And he goes, I am the bread of life. In fact, you will never go hungry again if you come to me. You'll never be thirsty again if you come to me. For what I have to offer is so great. It's eternal. It's beyond measure. And the thing is that we've heard these words before. We've seen the I am statements before. And yet we still, I don't think, possess the knowledge of what Jesus is offering here. Because you know what the Israelites did after this passage? They got upset at Jesus because they said, Jesus, how can we actually eat your flesh? We can't eat you. This doesn't make sense. How can you be the bread of life? There's nothing sustainable here. And they just didn't quite get it again, what Jesus was offering. And so let's turn it on us a little bit. How often in our lives do we go, okay, Jesus, I've been praying, I've been asking, I want these things, and yet I'm not quite getting what I've asked for. How often are you stressed in your life because you're not having the income that you want or the comfortable lifestyle that you need, and all these things that you want just aren't quite in your possession, and so you're just a little anxious, and you go, Jesus, where are the things that I actually need? And I look here back in verse 25, and I see Jesus calling out these people, and he says, I tell you the truth, you are not looking for me because you know what I can truly offer. You're here because you want to be fed. And I think about the stresses of this life. When we get angry, when we get too busy, when relationships are broken, when things are just not working, so our life is a little bit harder than normal. When there is stress in our lives, we don't turn to Jesus. We turn to the things of this world. And that's the punchline for today. When life gets stressful, we aren't coming to Jesus to de-stress. We're going to the world. For example, did you know that Americans, on average now, take in 2 to 3 pounds of sugar a week? We eat 2 to 3 pounds of sugar a week. No wonder my kids in class can't sit still. 100 years ago, we only consumed 4 to 5 pounds of sugar a year. And here's what we're finding is that people see sugar, they see food as a de-stressor. And so when we come home, we get that bag of peanut butter M&Ms, and after a stressful day, we go, oh yeah, vitamin M is the best. Yum, yum, yum. Let me tell you a story about the single bachelor Corey Nickel. All right? So Corey Nickel is an 8 through 12 English teacher at a small rural school. And I also just got done finished coaching junior high football, okay? That adds for a lot of stress. So here I am. Just a couple weeks ago, I teach a college-level writing class, and these 17 seniors I have a paper due that's only 2 pages long, mind you, right? It's like our beginning paper of the year. And on the due date, only 4 of the 17 turn it in on time. It just freaks me out. You dumb seniors, figure it out. You'll get ruined in college. And I'm not lying. I actually said that to them. It's probably a little over the line, but hey, they need to figure it out. Okay? Then after that day, I go to football practice, and we're about to play our biggest rival the next day. And so we gotta figure out our plays. We only have like 10 of them because we can only remember that many, right? And so we're trying to figure it out, and these kids are just like in la-la land all day, probably because they've had too much sugar, and they're now down on the downhill side of the sugar, and they just can't figure it out. In fact, they're almost endangering themselves so much because they're hitting each other just haphazardly and crying after their knee got bumped, right? And I played college football, so this is rough on me. And I am done at this practice, and I got so fed up and stressed out. I was like, get on the line! We're done. You're just all going to run. Oh, so this day of these seniors not turning the paper and these junior high kids being like third grade weenies instead of eighth graders, here I am. I'm like, I am so stressed out. So Corey did the regular single bachelor life thing. Gets on his phone and makes a call. Hello? Hey, this is Corey. Hey, Corey. Good to hear from you again. I think, did you call a couple days ago? Yeah. You still want that double pepperoni pizza, small? Yes, please. 20 minutes. We'll see ya. Oh, hey, Corey, by the way, we're out of the half-baked Ben and Jerry's ice cream. So you're going to have to get a different kind of, shoot. Okay. All right, see you in 20. 20 minutes later, Corey shows up. He gets his Casey's pizza and had to get the peanut butter cup Ben and Jerry's ice cream. He goes home and just, and I eat, and I scoop, and I de-stress. Because that's what's comfortable. Because food in that moment can just make my life numb. It can make me feel fulfilled. And yet I go back to the scripture and I go, how come I didn't go to Christ and say, you know, Lord, fill me with peace. Give me some grace with these kids. Lord, where are you in the midst of this? Where's the lesson? Where's the thing that you are trying to teach me? And why is it that when we are in a great dire need in our own life, when we need to be comforted, God isn't our place of refuge, but the world is? See, if you know the story of the Bible, you see that Jesus came to bring peace. He came to reshape everything you know in order to tell you, no matter what this world does to you, I am where you can go. And I promise you peace. I promise you a light burden. I promise you a way to get through. And yet, you know what we do? We get with our things in our life, our possessions and our money and our grip, because we're these selfish people. We're this, live in this culture that offers so many shiny new things to de-stress you, and we just hold on to it. We just hold on to where we think the world can fix and solve our problems. There's an interesting story in the Bible with Abraham and Isaac, right? Abraham never had a son late beyond, Sarah laughed when he said, when God said, I'm giving you this son. And they have Isaac and they're growing him his only son, the son that will inherit everything, the son that is in the covenant promise to receive the descendants as numerous as the stars. And one day God goes, Abraham, I want you to take your son and go up to this mountain and sacrifice him for me. And what's the most interesting thing about that passage in the Bible for me is that once God requests that, the very next verse is Abraham picking up his things in the morning, collecting his servants and going. There's no rebuttal. There's no complaints. There's nothing there of Abraham saying, God, no, that's not how we should solve this. God, that's not what we should do. He just does it. And so they go as far as going up to the mountain, Abraham creating the sacrifice, laying his son down, and even raising the knife in the air before God goes, stop. Abraham, I see that you fear me and that you would withhold nothing from me. And because of this faithfulness, I will now promise you descendants as numerous as the stars. But that line, I see, Abraham, that you fear me and that you would withhold nothing from me. And then I go to our lives and I think about the stressors and how much of the stuff that we want and the ways that we want to live and the things we want to do and how we hold on to it so desperately. And the moment when stress comes in or loss happens in our life, we just grip and we go, no, God, I'm not going to let go. And yet we see that message in the Bible, and I read that, I'll withhold nothing from you. And I just think of this reminder that nothing that we have in this world belongs to us. Nothing that you have is yours. It's on loan. Your money, your car, your home, your job, your clothes, your food, it's on loan, people. It's a gift from God to be used with the right stewardship. And when you die and you go on the ground, you ain't taking it with you. So how can we hold on to it like this so much in the world? Because when we get stressed and we think about what comfortable looks like, we think stuff helps that. And this is probably one of the most challenging messages you're going to hear when I say, quit holding on to it. When I say, hey, open up your eyes when you're stressed and when you're anxious and when things aren't going your way, and don't go for the food, don't go for that run, don't go for that music, don't go for that first. Find God first. De-stress with God first. I don't have historical messages for you today. I don't have great stories, but I'm going to be really real and vulnerable with you because I think it echoes in my life greatly. And being with you here before a few times, you know that I've had my past year was pretty rough. I had to walk through depression. Never would I ever have thought I would go through depression. But let me tell you about what was comfortable and what was not comfortable during that time. Depression is a dark place. Your mind's all messed up. Things, they're not normal. And what was comfortable for me during depression was to sit in my chair with Netflix on and a blanket over my head like there was nothing else in the world except for me in that chair. What was comfortable for me was to not go to work. What was comfortable for me was to not talk to people. What was comfortable for me was to not pray and not read my Bible. Darkness was comforting. And I was numb, and the times were heavy. And I didn't know if there was a way out for a while. That was comfortable. But you know what was uncomfortable for me? Talking to people about my issue during that time. Admitting to them that I was depressed. You know what was the most uncomfortable thing for me? that was falling on my knees and having a real prayer to God and saying, God, I need you. God, I can't do this alone. I can't control this as much as I want to. God, I am so, so lost. God, I just need you. And the truth is that in our lives today, I don't see any of my pairs of jeans or pants worn out at the knees because I'm on my knees praying to God. I don't see other people walking around, except at least they bought them from Buckle or something, and just there, the teenage kids, that there's holes in our knees, because that's where we go first, is there on our knees to say, God, I need you. Instead, we're popping vitamin M. We're going to that punching bag and just doing everything we can. We are seeking quick fixes from the world, like alcohol and maybe drugs or hurting yourself or pornography or whatever it may be, because they're quick fixes. It's something I can feel to make me comfortably numb. And what Jesus is trying to say here is, I am the bread of life. I am everything you need, your sustenance, your availability to live. If there's ever a problem, I can fix it. I am there with you and for you. And I promise I can make your burden light and easy. And so I want you to think right now, where is it in your life when you get stressed that you go first? Where is it that you go first when life is anxious and scary and stressful? And if it's not Jesus Christ, then we've got some things to fix in our lives. I have got some major things to fix in my life so that I can first come to my knees and say, God, I need you before anything else in this world. Just a few weeks ago, I had an incredibly broken relationship. It hurt my heart to see this person do the things they were doing and the things they said to me about me. Oh, I was worked up and angry. And I went over to I call him my Monty dad, my second father, not my blood father. I went over to his house and I just said, Greg, I gotta just rip this person. I just want to fume and just pour it out to you. And so I go, rah, 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 rah. And here he is just sitting in his recliner going, yep. Yep, and just like not even paying attention to me. I'm like, Greg, listen to me. I just rah, 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 and I just ripping off. And he goes, hey, you see this new smart TV I got? Greg, stop it. He's like, no, check it out. He pulls out his wireless keyboard and pulls up the YouTube app. He's like, this is the only reason I got this TV. And I'm like, oh, this is so annoying. I'm leaving because you're not listening. He's like, no, just stay. Next thing I know, he types in Passion Conference 2015. He pulls up their music playlist and he goes, hey, why don't you just listen to this? No, Greg, you got to listen to me. What I'm trying to say, listen to how angry I am and what this person did to me. He's like, oh, just listen to a few words. I was so tense and so angry, and I wanted worldly comfort. And yet in the next hour, as these songs played, my tenseness loosened as I heard words that were being sung and actually listened to and praised God in that moment. Things like Cornerstone, Christ alone, where the weak may fail, you are strong. There's 10,000 reasons to bless your name. You're the great I am. You've overcome the world. When my knees hit the ground, my hands touch the sky. These words that we sing, these songs that we hear, and in that moment, just because Greg gets it, because he lost his wife to cancer last year, and he sits and that's what he does. He listens to God. He incorporates God to de-stress him time and time again. He doesn't go to food. He doesn't go to anything in the world that can quickly comfort him. He just finds God and praises him in the midst of sorrow. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I don't have words to completely describe to you who Jesus may be to you, but I've read the Bible and I've taken in a few things like he's the bread of life and he is the thirst that can be quenching and all these things, the Prince of Peace. I have read words about him and I felt him and I found ways that he can supply the true comfort to my life. And my question is how do you know him? Do you use him for those type of things? Because the world is the quickest killer to our spiritual life, the quickest killer to our way to Christ. And I guess if I could start describing him in some ways, you know, I would say, and start at the beginning, he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the courage that you need in times of fear. He is the encouragement when you don't think you can keep going. He's the father to the fatherless, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the only one that can fix your problems. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the answer to all of your questions. He's rightfully righteous, and he's trustworthy, and he is the King of Kings, the King of Zion, Yahweh, the God of heaven, and he is there for you for every single thing that you need. Everything. And yet we find ways in the world to distract ourselves, to be full of something that can just make us comfortably numb. When in the end, I think this is what we need to do. Fall to our knees. When's the last time that you prayed on your knees? Do you know what this takes? This takes me stopping my entire day. I can't move. I can't lay in bed and fall asleep praying. I can't be at school and just walk. I have to stop everything I'm doing in order to get on my knees and say, okay, God, I need you now. It is the most it's the most humble and act of humility I can do is to like get on my knees and submit to God and say, okay, I can't do it. This world can't do it, but God, I need you. And so that's my challenge for you this time. And next time when I come back, I'll probably ask, how many of you have gotten on your knees to pray to God in times of stress? How many of you actually stop your life and feeding your face with the ways of this world to just say, God, I need you? God, I need you because this world cannot give me enough. There's nothing in this world that is as great or as fulfilling as you. And God, I just need you. He's the true comfort. He is the person that can fix your soul and realign your life. That burden you're carrying, that thing you're stressed with or you're dealing with, let it go. Let it go so that he can make it light, so that he can make it easy. Amen. Jesus, as we come to you in prayer, I know sometimes I can be pushy, God. I know sometimes I can be pretty adamant with things I say up here, God, but I just ask that you give me grace, Lord, and that these words just have a hit in our souls that we may change where we go to in times of stress. Lord, that we would think of you first, that we would implement your spirit first, Lord, that we would call on your name first, God, in the stressors of our lives. Because you are truly all that we need. And Lord, this church is just continuously flowing with young children and families and people, Lord. They're searching for a pastor. There's a council meeting tomorrow night, Lord, and we want to pray for all those things. We want to just pray that you be present in those moments, that your words would speak into our ears of direction and of purpose and of decision, that we may do your will, God, and not the will of ourselves, of our selfish hearts, Lord, but your true spirit and your true will. Lord, we pray for the people of this congregation who are injured, who are hurt, who are struggling, who have celebrations as well, Lord. We pray for Denny Wilson, God, as he is in hospital just struggling Lord, with the cellulitis, with trying to overcome the sickness. Lord, give him strength. Let him feel your peace. Lord, with other people in this congregation, I'm just going to name some names, Lord, with Darlene's sister-in-law, Sandy. Lord, be with her. Be with Joan and JT and Jamie and Gary and Drew. Lord, all these people who have been through things, Lord, be with LaVon. We praise you for what's going on there. God, we pray for Catherine and Sony. Lord, all of these people who are either in a crisis or heading out of a crisis, Lord, be with them that you may give them peace. Lord, in the midst of stress, of anxiety, of unknown answers, Lord, that you would supply your spirit of peace in their lives. Your spirit of strength. Lord, that this surrounding fellowship and community would give them the hope that they need to see. Lord, bless this congregation in the furthering steps, their impact on the community and the surrounding areas, Lord, then the families. Lord, let them continue to grow and build in your kingdom. Lord, we offer our hearts, our confessions, our pleas, and this church to you in the midst of this prayer, O Lord. In your name, amen. At this time, we'll be taking up the offering as the praise team comes up, and today it is for the CRC Home Missions.
I feel like I should sing Lord, I Need You again. A couple, 3 weeks ago, Dr. Bob introduced us to Cornerstone. He sang the chorus, and Corey also talked about Christ being our cornerstone. It's a fairly new song. Listen to the words, or as you get familiar with it, sing along. It's a fairly simple melody. There's melody in a chorus and a melody in a chorus about three times.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace.
Lord of all.
any announcements at this time, there is a microphone up here. All you.
Well, good morning. Two things real quick. One is for those of you who are guests here, I'm Pastor Kevin, and I, from time to time, make myself available in the fireside room or around the fireside room. If you have questions about our church, about membership, anything at all, you can meet me there, and that's an open invitation anytime. If you have any questions, you can find me and pull me aside and talk to me. My information is on the back of the bulletin. Secondly, the first ever autumn celebration is what time today?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. All right. Many of you signed up. If you haven't, that's okay. Come on out. All right. We'll have some fun. If you can bring a pot of soup, great. If not, we'll always have extra. If you want to paint a pumpkin, bring one if you can. If you not, if you can't, we have extra. We're flexible. See? I am. So 4 o'clock. Come on out and have some fun. We'll try to be, in terms of the games, be very accommodating. And when you come, try to leave a trail from this south door to the field, the grassy field out that way. Don't park in that area if possible. So park more to the east, if you would. And for anybody who would like, you know, a face sticker, come through the entrance that you'll see to the field. And you know what I'm talking about when you come this afternoon.
October is National Pastor Appreciation Month. And Pastor Kevin here is our pastor of Congregational Life. And I want to thank you for your service here at Crossroads. And I know the council certainly appreciates your work. And I'm sure the congregation does as well. So on behalf of the council and congregation, I'd like to give you a small token of our appreciation for your service here at Crossroads. God's blessings to you. Mike Rye's class on Islam will be in the fireside room today instead of the sanctuary. Thanks.
I'll be a sanctuary.
If you would all rise with me. Receive God's parting blessing. I pray you may go in the face of the shining God we live and serve. That you may go with the love and the peace of Jesus Christ. And you may live in the warmth and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ is risen. Jesus.
Jesus, you are Lord of all. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are.